Okay, this is the 22nd Kabbalah class, thank the Almighty. In memory of my father, it is the Hakel. Here we go together for inspiration. And we're going to embark on the letter He. Now, the letter He has so much to it. I don't know how many weeks it will take us to cover it, if it'll be two or it'll spill into a third. I don't know. We shall see. But clearly there's going to be things that we will not be able to cover. The truth is, that could be said of any letter, but He in particular. But an interesting thing that I discovered when looking into the letter He preparing for this class, because as I said at the outset, we have to go beyond what we've done in regular class over the years. I'd like you to take a look at these two books. These two books are part of a set called Sefer HaErechim Chabad. I'll paraphrase, it means Encyclopedia of Chabad Philosophy. So this is something that the Rebbe requested very many years ago. It's a project that is just enormous. It was stopped for many years, and the writer is back at it. But when it came out, one of the first words in the letter Aleph, the first letter, is the word Otiyot, which means letters, what we're doing. Because you spell it Aleph and then Vav. So, he put out two volumes on the letters. Now, I didn't ask the fellow who's at the helm, Rabbi Yoel Kahn, who's just a brilliant man, if what I'm saying is correct. But I noticed the first one, it says Marechet Otiyot. The first one, it says Aleph, until Aleph Tet Bet Chet. Aleph Tet Bet Chet is a system in which you take the digits from 1 to 9 and you switch 1 with 9, 2 with 8, etc. And what's left in the middle is He, number 5. Whatever that means, that comes right after explaining the letter Dalet, which we did last week. And then the next volume is from the letters Zayin till Tav. You can see how big it is. All of the remaining letters fit into this second book, which is a little bit thinner than this first book. So two letters have not yet been published. The letter He and the letter Vav. And I'm saying to myself, at first I was like, how could you leave me without? I mean, of course, I have from the Tzemach Tzedek, and I have other sources, because throughout Chassidus, it's harder to find. Each of the Rebbes has their own, they call Mafteach, whatever, a place where you could look up where to find certain subjects. And then it occurred to me that there's so much on the letter He, and the letter Vav, which is a connecting letter, and the Vav, as we're going to learn, which represents, we're even going to mention it during the Hey a bit, when we talk about God's name, about the six midot, in other words, from chesed, kindness, down to yisod foundation, six, that there's so much there that it needs a volume of its own for these two books. So why am I pointing this out? Because even though we're going to cover a lot, we're going to miss out a lot. So with that introduction, let's take a look at the sheet in front of you, and then we're going to take a look at page 14 in the Gutnik Chumash. So on the sheet in front of us, we have Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. The three letters at the top simply is an abbreviation. It says it means B'siyata Dishmaya, with the help of heaven. And that's a Jewish custom to write that, or base Hey, when you begin writing on a sheet of paper, that is with God's help. So Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, those are the letters that we've done, and they form a sequence, as we have seen, Aleph to Bet, and then to Gimel, and to Dalet, and then to He. And the sequence ends, that particular sequence ends with the letter He. And because we're going to be referencing it down the road, I put it up there, and I put the letters with their spelling, and incidentally, this sheet is already uploaded to the website. For anyone who's listening to the recording, you can download it. PDF. The letter He has a spelling. Three ways it can be spelled. He Aleph, hey, hey yud, hey, or hey hey, hey. And we're going to be speaking primarily about the last one, but a little bit about the first two. So I just want you to understand what is there on the sheet. Now we're going to go to the next line, and in order to do that, we have to take a look at the Chumash, and we're going to take a look at the story of creation. And the more one gets into the teachings, of the mystical teachings, the more amazing it is how much of this is clearly embedded into the story of creation. It says in Pasuk Dalet, verse number 4 of chapter 2 of the book of Bereishis. Eila told unto Hashemayim, this is the chronology of the heavens, the hearts, and the earth, Behi Bor'om, when they were created, or when he created them. Now we have, the letter He is small, and I've done it that way also on the handout. So this word Behi Bor'om, why is the He small? So we've said that one day, we're going to be talking about big letters versus small letters in the Sefer Torah, but clearly each time there's a message. The hay that is small represents the potential of hay, something that we'll talk about as we proceed. So the world is being created, Rashi even tells us, Behei Bor'om. If you take the word and break it up, it's Behei Bor'om, that God created the world with the letter He. Well, that's pretty significant. What does that mean? So we're going to come back to this page 14 in a minute, but I'd like to ask you to turn now to the beginning of the story of creation, because we know the story of creation is told on two levels. First, it's the very beginning of the Torah. Then, in order to go into certain details, it goes back to actually day, the beginning, and then to day six, what happened on day six. But first it tells you that all the 7 days. So at any rate, on page 2, chapter 1, verse 1 of the entire Torah, Bereshit, in the beginning of Bara Elohim, when God created the heavens and the earth. And what was at that time? The Aretz, at that time the earth was tervavot, completely desolate and empty. There was darkness on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering on the face of the water. Turn page, page 4. So what happened at that beginning? It all started with, by Yom Elohim, God said, Yehi Or, let there be light. In other words, where did the universe begin? It began with light. Now let's see how many times the word light appears on the first day of creation. Okay, Yehi Or, let there be light. Vayehi Or, there was light. That's 2. Vayar Elohim et Or ki tov, God saw the light was good. That's 3. Vayavdel Elohim ben Or ben Hachoshech, God separated between the light and the darkness. That is 4. Vayikra Elohim la'or yom, God called the light day. That is 5. Vayachoshech kara laila, and darkness he called night. Ve'erev bokeh yom echad, it was evening, it was morning, one day. So what are we seeing here? That God creates the world with light, and he makes a point of saying light 5 times. Aha! Let us now turn back to page 14. So this is the chronology, verse 4, that we just said. Of the heavens and the earth, Behi Bor'om, when they were created, and it means that when God created them with the letter He. So the first thing we know, it means that there were 5, that there's 5 aspects of light that are mentioned in that beginning of creation. He created them with 5, let's say for right now, 5 types of light. Okay, so now that we know that, let's go back to the handout. And I'm going to share with you something that is sort of jumping ahead, but we're going to do it now. So, Behi Bor'om, and we've seen this before, but maybe, whether you remember it, maybe not. In brackets, it says, Be'Avraham, with Avraham. What does that mean? that the words Behi Bara'am, when they were created, is the same letters as Ba'avraham. Now you'll notice Avraham does not have a small hey. And then what I added, what our sages say, Velo Avram, not Avram. What is that? So we know the story that Avram and Sarai didn't have children. And God says, okay, I'm going to change your name. Avram, which means the father of a great multitude. Avram. I'm sorry, elevated father. Avram, elevated father. I'm going to stick a hey into your name. It's going to be Avraham, which means the father of a multitude. Hamon, hey man, means Hamon. Multitude of nations. Not just an elevated father. Because you're elevated father, and then what? What's the product? But here I say you're a father of a multitude. There's a product. And the product comes by adding the hey dimension, which is our subject. By adding the letter hey to your name, now you can have children. So, what is it about the letter hey? Now, one thing that we're seeing already is that hey represents not just more than one or a multiplicity as in the letter two, but hey represents many, hamon. And we're going to see why that is.
Harbe.
Yes, that's right, harbe a lot, yep. And now I also continue, I wrote, Sarah, her name was changed from Sarai, Sarah v'lo Sarai. Her name was Sarai. Now that's Sar, which means princess. Yud, the letter Yud. See that? The letter Yud, which even though we haven't learned it yet, it's impossible to get away from it at any point. It's that central point of potential. I'm going to use the word potential a bit loosely here, because I don't want to get caught up with the letter Yud right now. But from the central point, where is it expanding to? So God says, no, we got to change that Yud into a Hey, so there can be expansion. You can have a child. So Avraham and Sarah each needed to get a letter Hey. Now they could have children. So, all right, so we see that hay has some specific powers to it, and we need to understand what that is. So what is it about the letter hay? A number of things. You'll notice, as we go further into the handout, there's all these letters. These are called hay motzaot hapeh. I don't have that written down for you. It means the five ways we express sounds, because we have 22 letters, but we can divide them how they come out of our mouth. We have hey, which is coming straight from the throat air. Now before we go further, hey, which is the easiest letter, and it's just air, it's impossible to speak without air, we all know that. So therefore hey is the foundation of speech. So, before going even further, we could say, we know that God created the world with 10 utterances. This is speech. And speech begins with the letter hey, because we need to have air. Whatever that represents spiritually, which we're getting to. So we can say, what's the meaning of Behi Bara'am, that God created it, Behi Bara'am, He created it with hey. It means He created it with speech. Now let's continue. Coming from the same place in the throat, actually. Hey, Aleph, right? You say ah. It's coming also from the throat. Now, chet, especially when you do it the way the Sephardim do, which is het, if I can do it properly, it's right there in the throat. And ayin, or more than that, the way the Sephardim do it, ayin, which is really in the throat. So we have one place in the mouth where these four letters come from. That's number one. Now we have Gimel, Yud, Chaf, and Kuf. This is a little hard for me to explain. I know how they say it in Hebrew, but if you just say those letters and you think, where are you doing the manipulating in your mouth, you'll see it's kind of, it has to do, I'm going to say with the saliva, but I don't mean exactly that. If you just think of, when you say gimel, and just try and think what's your tongue doing, gimel, and then go yud, and you'll see that your tongue, in relationship to your palate, is doing almost the same thing. When you're saying gimel, yud, chaf, and kuf, you'll see the chaf and kuf are a little bit behind the position of the gimel and the yud, but it's the same general position, which is why I want to say this is gives, I'm going to say, probably support to the correctness of the Sephardic pronunciation of the chet, which they do het, versus the kaf or chaf, which here it's in a different category. But anyway, so the second place in the mouth is these four letters. Now we have using the tongue. Just think about dalet. You'll see that your tongue touches a certain part in your palate. Tet, like a dalet but stronger. Lamed, also the tongue. Nun, you'll see that you're the beginning, the end, you hit with that tongue. And taf. So it's almost exactly the same position with slight variations for these five letters. The fourth way we express words is Zion. Now this relates to the teeth. Samach, Shin or Sin, Resh, Tzadik or Tzadik. So a person who doesn't have teeth and does not have a set of false teeth does have an issue pronouncing these letters. They got to sort of try and improvise. It just doesn't work very well. Basically, it comes through the teeth. And there's four letters that come through the lips. Bet, Vav, Mem, Pe. Right? So what do we see here? That there are five areas in the mouth that speech comes from. Now, why are there five? You can say, well, that's how it physically is. Yes, but obviously, it has a spiritual root. It has a spiritual root because speech is rooted in the spiritual concept of the letter He, which is what we're studying, which is what the world was created with. Consequently, it emerged in creation itself that we should use five areas of the mouth to pronounce words. So that's the letter He. That is five. But five goes even beyond that. How many levels of the soul are there? We've studied this way back in the beginning. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. That's the next thing on the handout. Now you can divide the soul and its expression in different places, but to put it very simply, we have action, emotion, and intellect. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. Now, what is before rationality enters our minds? Chaya, we call it life. But the life itself must come from a place of oneness with God, which we call yechida. So we see how the letter He is not only in the fact that the world is created with words, with speech, which divides into five, but even the creation of the person, who is the purpose of creation, is created with five levels. And we are going to see how this is expressed in other aspects of the letter He itself. So let's take a look now to the very top of the page, and let's go on the journey from Aleph through He. So Aleph, we already explained at length, there's a Yud above and a Yud below. And the next letter is Bet. So from the oneness of God, Alufo Shel Olam, the one who runs the world, the one and only God, He created the world where there's division, there's upper and lower, there's heaven and earth. And as we can see from the lower level, the spike going towards what is before it, we see, so Aleph moves into the letter Bet. Just a second. And Bet is a home, which we want to make this world a home for the Almighty. And how do we do that? From within that enclosure, we continue from the right to the left, as we discussed last week at the very end of the class. From the right to the left, and we have a person, a stick figure, who's a gimel. And gimel means gmul, which means giving. But what is he projecting forward? He's projecting forward a yud. Now the yud is specifically touching the ground because we're living in a concrete world, not in a world of fanciful spiritual ideas only, but in a world where the spiritual ends up being concrete in the world. And what is the person giving? He's giving to the dalad, which is the poor man, the man who is stooped over. And what he's giving him is the letter yud. So now what you have, when the dalad receives the letter yud, you have the letter hey. So we've discussed this before, but now we're going to see it with complete profundity. Because what is the meaning of the shape of the letter hey? The shape of the letter hey, you have a horizontal on the top, so that represents thought. Why does it represent thought? Well, first of all, thought is the upper level of conscientiousness with ourselves. Thought is speaking inside our own head. And its relationship to intellect will be discussed later. But the thing about thought is, it's possible for a person to be in a state of thought that they have awareness that everything in the world is equal in that it's an expression of godliness. So therefore it's horizontal, it's not a point, but it is expansive, but it's expansive right and left on the same level. So the thought, and you take thought to its ultimate purpose, the thought that everything in this world is ultimately an expression of God. But from thought, to take it to a more concretized level, we have to take it down, which is the vertical stick on the right side. And as we discussed already before, it goes from right to left. That's the direction in the spirituality of the cosmos, from right to left. So on the right side, there's a stick going down because we take from the thought, and to take it to the next level, it brings it to speech. And of course, we understand that in speech, there's higher and lower. Well, how do you speak? Do we speak in a monotone? Even if you speak in a monotone, different words have different meanings. Usually, if we want to express ourselves, we're not just going to speak in a monotone. In other words, straight sound with no higher and lower is just a straight noise, right? But if you're going to speak, there's going to be higher and lower. So that is the stick, and it's connected, obviously, to the thought. But here we have something which, at first glance, will contradict what we said before about the letter yud. The letter yud represents action, the lowest of all. And why is it separated? Because ultimately, when we act physically, we're dealing with things that are outside of us. That's how we take whatever is in our mind and we deal with something outside of us. So it's separated. And why is it the letter Yud? It is the letter Yud, and it's the letter Yud that the Gimel is giving to the Dalet, which the Gimel received from its mission in the letter Bet, which comes from the Aleph, which is God, which comes from the Yud within the Aleph, the first Yud on the right side of the Aleph. And as we said then, that the Yud on the right side, the first part of the Aleph, reaches downward. Right? That's why it's reaching to the first part of that angled middle part. So that Yud is action. Why? Because what is God's plan? God's plan is that we should act in this world as if it is abundantly apparent that the whole world is an expression of God. So in other words, We're eating matzah. And what's matzah? Flour and water. But God says, eat the matzah. So yes, you're dealing with something that's outside of yourself. And you have to plow the field. And to water it. And so on. To make the wheat grow. And grind it and do all of those things. And maybe you even have to put manure all over. So you're dealing with things that are very outside of you. And what do you get in the end? You get something, food, which in Chassidus, it actually uses the expression, which you have to be careful how you hear it, only if we're in the Kabbalistic mind of thinking, can we hear this correctly? Eating godliness. See that? So that this plain bread, the staple of living, becomes godly. So that's why action specifically is the yud. It's the favor that the gimel is giving to the dalet. It is that yud. And we saw that the yud, when the gimel was holding onto it, it was at the bottom. And when the hay has it, it's also on the bottom, because that's really where it belongs. Another thing. We have expansiveness. Remember I said how the hay spreads to the right and left? Expansiveness. Hay in general represents expansiveness for the following. In the physical dimension, because it's all about the physical, as we just heard, from the yud in the letter hey, that yud at the bottom left. So we have right and left, forwards, backwards, or north, south, east, west, if you would like. So that's, I'll call it two-dimensional world, right? So we have right and left, that's the top of the letter hey. And we have up and down, if you like. But what about depth? Now, any article, if let's say you can imagine that I'm standing in front of this bookshelf, and the way I'm standing, I see it totally flat. And if I were to take a picture of it, you wouldn't see the sides at all. In other words, depth is something that you don't see at first. First, you just see right and left, up and down. But now, when I look into it, I say, oh, there's depth to it. So you see, depth is something that you don't see right away. That yud at the bottom left is separated from the two-dimensional view of this world, because everything has depth. Not just physical depth, but obviously we have depth of purpose, we have depth of spiritual source. So therefore, the letter hey, being the letter of creation, is because creation is that way. We live in a world and it just looks physical. But really, there's so much depth to it. I mean, without the depth, there's no Kabbalah class, right? Because Kabbalah class is all about the depth of creation. Thank you for that really beautiful point. So if you have a flat square in front of you, you have 4 points. But if you're going to go deeper, now you have
a fifth point.
A fifth point, of course, the numeric value of hey, obviously it's the fifth letter, it is number 5. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Here's another thing. And here, I can only share with you what I know, because what I know can only be from the books that I have available. And, you know, there's this thing called Rabbi Google. And you can just start typing in Hebrew if you are able to type in Hebrew, which is not so difficult to do these days. And then you get all sorts of results from Israel. Israeli website, absolutely, a Hebrew website. You don't have to go to google.israel, whatever, just on a regular Google. And you start typing in Hebrew, and you'll get Hebrew results. I do it all the time. But in trying to find things on this subject, there's so many people who write about Kabbalah. Some know what they're talking about, some don't. And even those who do, they're not writing on a very deep level, just very basic. So I, like I said, because my library, just want to say, even though most of these shelves are 2 layers deep, by comparison to the From Home, this is actually a very small library, I'm just saying the truth. Okay. So, but at any rate, I could only find so much, and I know for a fact that there's more. I even remember learning about more of this years ago. So I'm going to tell you with that disclaimer that I'm telling you what I know. Let's go to the top of the page, where we see how the letter He is spelled. So the letter He can be spelled He Aleph, because we see Aleph is an open letter, He. And what would be the meaning of spelling it He Aleph? Well, we know the story, that the He is receiving the Yud that started with the Aleph, right? Remember, there's a sequence from Aleph till He. That's very clear. Because the spelling of the letter, and we mentioned this before, I think, whichever week it was. For example, the letter Yud, which is spelled Yud Vav Dal, right? So Yud is 10, and hidden in it is 6 plus 4, which is also 10. Which means that there's a hidden layer of 10 beyond the first 10. And the same thing is with the spelling of every single letter. There's something hidden, which is represented by the letters that we use for spelling. So Hey, hidden in the Hey is Aleph. That's clear. And we can go the same thing to the second spelling, Hey Yud, because even within Aleph, the Aleph begins with the letter Yud on the top right. So Hey. So Hey ultimately begins with the letter Yud, and that's what the bottom left is. It's taking the oneness of God and expressing it in the physical world. But what about that spelling Hey Hey? So here, the Tzemach Tzedek says, and I'm hoping that I understood the Tzemach Tzedek correctly, because as I've said countless times, the Tzemach Tzedek's work is so deep, and what I get from it is scratching the surface, and here I'm hoping I understood it correctly. He says, like I said before, in general, when you have the spelling, it shows on a deeper dimension, but with the letter He, it's the same concept. You have in its depth more of the same. What do you mean more of the same? Because what is Hey? Hey is about the Yud, the beginning of the letter Aleph, making its way into this world. So if you're going to go deeper, well, that's what this world is about. So the spelling is Hey, Hey. All right. Now, something else. We have, we said the shape of the letter He is thought, speech, and action. Let's talk about action for a second. How many fingers do you have in your hand? Five. Five fingers for action. Right, there you go. We mentioned the five expressions of speech and the five layers of the soul. So now let's take a look at the names of our forefathers. Avraham, he needed to have a Hey, as we said. Sarah needed to have the letter Hey in order to have children. Now, who is Yitzchak's wife? Rivka. She has a letter Hey. Yaakov had Leah and Rachel. And Rachel did not have children. So Leah has a Hey. She had children. Rachel has no Hey. So she figured she'll give her maidservant Bilhah to Yaakov, and he had some children. Why? Because Bilhah has two Hays. So maybe Bilhah will make up for the Hay that she's missing. See that? So we can see how the letter Hey is critical to creation. Now here is something about the letter Hey. We've said that in the letter Hey, the Yud is what he received from the Gimel. But the Hey is still called its own letter. So what does that mean? It means it's possible to receive something, but it's never completely your own. In other words, I'm just parroting what I hear from the media. Which is depending on what you like, so what you listen to. So you're not really being your own person. But if a person is going to become their own, then they take that which was given to them, the Yud, and it becomes integral to who they are. That's really the ultimate gift. So there are eight levels of charity according to the Rambam. And the lowest level is that you give something to somebody who is in need, and you don't give it to them in a nice way. At the end of the day, he received what he needs. Okay. What is the highest level? The highest level is made up of three parts, because all of them involve no embarrassment. One is to give a gift, because people give gifts. Another one is to give an interest-free loan, because we're not allowed to charge interest from one Jew to the next. And even though some people think that it's embarrassing to ask for a loan, it's really a mistake, because I think we all know that the people who ask for the biggest loans are the wealthiest people. That's how all businesses operate. Loans are normal. The other one is to give somebody a job. Because when you give somebody a job, they have absolutely no sense that they are doing something that you gave them as a favor. Rather, okay, this is my job, I do such and such, I become whatever, a bookkeeper, let's say. So this is who I am, now I'm the bookkeeper. So that's the same thing, what the hay has received becomes his own. But we can take that to the deeper level, which is also about our awareness. But what have we received from the Gimel? We've received the teaching that ultimately everything comes from God. Everything in this world is an expression of God. So if I go from being dal, poor, which is poverty of the mind, our sages say, ein anius ela badas, true poverty is only poverty of the mind, and on the most practical level, I could talk about that for about a year, how true that is. The point is, when a person understands that everything is really about that yud, that first part of the letter Aleph, as it's really concretized in this world, now they really have their own view of the world. They've really been gifted it in the greatest manner. They're not parroting anything, but that has become their awareness. Another thing about the letter hey. There is an expression, Dabar Echod Lador, one leader for each generation. So why would a leader be called Dabor? Dabor means a speaker. I think we can understand the answer very easily. You just think of any leader. What is he doing? He's not flexing his muscles against you. He's running his kingdom, whatever it happens to be, with his mouth, for good or for bad. That's how people lead. So what we have here is that leadership is through the power of speech. So daber, which means speak, dabor means a leader, leadership is through the power of speech. Which is very interesting, because how did God create the world? With speech. The letter hey. And now we come to something that's really very, very significant. Freedom of choice and divine providence. And I think we've mentioned this recently in one of the classes, but it happens to have its place here as well. So I'll mention it here. How can there be freedom of choice if there is divine providence? The truth of the matter is, it's really not a big question, for several reasons. One reason that I'll just mention now, because it's not our subject, but whoever's listening to the recording, if you want to ponder it, in the spiritual realm, there is no time. Time is a creation. Past, present, and future is part of the creation of this universe. So we only see choice as a contradiction, apparent contradiction, to divine providence, because we view it in a sequence following the line, linear time, the arrow of time. But in the spiritual world, there's no arrow of time. But the other part that I want to say is, freedom of choice is only in choosing good from bad. Whether that choice will be actualized, that's already divine providence. As a very simple example that I use all the time, so people plan for 3 months how to rob a bank, and just as they do it, they figure exactly the right time. It's going to be on Wednesday at 3:14, they're going to pull up, and just as they pull up and they're about to go to a screeching halt, they just see that a policeman happens to be walking into the bank. Okay, so they chose bad, and God put something in their way. Or they get into trouble.
that they slip on a banana peel, etc. So now, what does it say concerning this? And we say it in our prayers every single day. We say, Rabot machashavot belev ish. Many other thoughts in the heart of man. Va'atzat Hashem hitakum. But God's counsel, meaning God's plan, is the one that will endure. Which means to say, let's take a look at that left foot, the yud, that is action. It's separated from the thought and the speech, the horizontal and vertical sides of the letter hey. Why? Because maybe we think we're going to behave a certain way. But God says, listen, you're going to be late for work today. That's it. I know you left 20 minutes early, but you're going to be late. So for however he makes it. The other day I did something, I shouldn't say I can't believe it, because if I believe in God, everything is believable. But you think I've been driving to and from Vancouver for 20 years, more days than not. And just the other day, I go out on an exit too early, which makes me end up going in the wrong direction, right? So till I could make the circle. So God says, okay, listen, you planned it all out my way. It's my way, not your way. Which means that the world of action is separated from your thought and your speech. And why is it separated? Because ultimately your action is governed by Yud, by God, right? So the lesson in the letter hey, that you may think many things, say many things, but God's going to decide what you're going to do. Which brings us to something that's at the very bottom of this page. And it says, Na'utz sofan v'tchilatan u'tchilatan b'sofan. This means the end is wedged in the beginning and the beginning is wedged in the end. What does that mean? And what does that have to do with anything that we have just explained? It is like this. Person decides he's going to settle down and he has a family, fine. So if he's going to have a family, he's going to have to sustain them. If he's going to sustain them, he has to get a job. If he's going to get a job, he's got to get a profession. If he's going to get a profession, he's got to study. Let's pick on accounting. So he's got to study, let's say, accounting. Now, as he goes through all of these things, it's possible to be sidetracked by many things. Well, am I going to get the top mark of the class, meaning my mark as compared to anybody else? If you just remember, your purpose is to support your family. So if you want to study a little bit extra for that test so you can feel that you got the top mark and take away time from your wife or kids, well, maybe not so. And so on and so forth. Now you find you've got you're an accountant. So now you're driving to work. And now some guy cuts you off. So if you're young enough to get all irritated about it, you know, and you start, wait a minute. Just remember, what's the whole purpose? Well, you know what? My purpose is to feed my family. So you cut me off. Fine. So far, he didn't hit me. I didn't hit him. He wants to drive like a maniac. So be it. My point is, everything in between, everything from the thought, I need to sustain my family, until he brings home the check and deposits in the bank. Everything in between is only in between. Because the very purpose that he can sustain his family, that was really the first thought. So the beginning is wedged into the end, and the end is wedged into the beginning. Which means to say that we have a sequence from the letter Aleph till Hey. And the letter Aleph begins with the letter Yud, that point of the divine which makes its way towards this world. And what do we end up with in the letter Hey, the letter of creation? We end up with what we started, with the Yud
the oneness of God. The end is wedged to the beginning. Beginning is wedged to the end. And where does the yud appear in the letter aleph in the top right? Because we know we're always going from right to left and upper to lower. And where does it appear in the letter hey? In the bottom left. Completely the other end, the lowest end. And not only that, it's separated from the other parts of the letter hey, because this world is ultimately like something from nothing. We said something from nothing, ex nihilo, what we mean is because what we consider a thing, this world came from no such thing, the way we consider something. So the real world is ultimately the yud, and it's separated from everything in between, because it's really wedged in the very beginning, and the beginning is wedged in the end. That's the letter hey. But now we continue a little bit more, and we're going to learn about God's name of Yud and a Hey and a Vav and a Hey. I have to say that I wrote it out the way I did on the handout, because you cannot just write God's name, because then it has holiness to it. You cannot erase it, you cannot throw it out in the garbage. It's holy, you just have to be very careful. So I did it this way. I put each letter with its spelling, and I put it in a vertical. And it also allows me to put other explanatory things that we're going to cover, at least in part now. So what is God's name? God's name, that is God above nature, is a yud, and then a hey, then a vav, and then a hey. What is the meaning of that letter? Because if we take the word yidid, and you know what, I don't have it on the handout here. Yidid means friend. How do you spell yidid? Yud dalad, yud dalad. Yud yud, right? Yad yad. Friend. So friend, there's a togetherness. Here, God is creating a world that appears separate. So the yud is injected into the two dalads of yidid. You just, right? And the two dalads become a hey. The two hays of God's name. Let's see what they mean in the context of the letter hey. So there's words that I'm going to say now that I decided not to put on the handout. The way the name of God, a yud and a hey and a vav and a hey, is expressed in Kabbalah is like this. Tzimtzum hitpashtut hamshacha hitpashtut. What does that mean? Tzimtzum means contracted. In other words, God's divine light is contracted into a central point, the central point that is the root of everything that is created, which within the realm of the four worlds and the 10 levels of the world represents Keter. Keter is desire. It's the level that precedes the 10. It's connected to the superconscious, and it makes its first expression in what I put in brackets in Chochmah, which is that seminal point, that flash that comes into our head. So the first letter in God's name is how, from God Himself, we get the first squeezed expression point of a yud. The next letter is hey. Hey is expansion. That's hitpashtut. So in specific levels within the sefirot, it refers to the level of bina. Why is that? Well, what is bina? Bina is the elaboration, analysis, and understanding of any concept. In other words, any concept has all of its points, which is the expansive, let's call it right to left. Like this particular concept is broken down into 17 elements, let's say, that make up the entire concept. But then, of course, these concepts, you have more significance, less significance. That's called length, higher, lower. Right? So we have quantity, and then I'm going to say quality, even though I don't like to use that word. It's kind of cliche, and also it's not really totally accurate, but you have a third dimension. Third dimension is depth. So for example, we can understand something as a child. Silence is golden.
Okay. So when we're younger, we can say very simple. Silence is golden. Well, a closed mouth gathers no foot. All right? So silence is golden. But we can get older and we can see a lot more profundity to the same idea. Sometimes it's possible to have a very great effect with silence. The older we get, the more we see that. That's not the only depth of dimension, but I'm using that as an example. So Bina, when we elaborate and analyze, so we have the various parts of the concept, more important, less important, and the depth, the profundity. All of that is in the world of Bina. And you'll notice that these are the three elements of the letter He. Right? We have the horizontal plane on the top, the vertical, and we have that central point, bottom left, which represents profundity. We said this in the beginning. So that first letter He is the letter, represents Bina, the expansion of Bina. Then the next letter in God's name is Vav. What is Vav? Vav is a central point, which is our next letter, we're going to learn it anyway. Central point, and as it extends downwards. And many letters in the Hebrew alphabet use a Vav. A Mem uses a Vav, a Lamed uses a Vav, there are others. So Vav is called Hamshacha, and Vav is a numeric value of 6. Because if we take a look for a moment at the 10 levels, we know that in the emotions we have Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, that's giving or outflow, and Gvura, firmness, and Tiferet, which is actually, you know, could you take one and pass one to, yeah, because we're going to use this a little bit now. And, yeah. So, what do I, if you take a look at the side, and I refer to, if you take a look here for a second, I wrote emotions within, conveying emotions. The emotions within and conveying emotions, those are the 6. By the way, 6 days of creation, the 7th being Shabbat, which is majesty, which is Malchut. But the point is the Vav letter in God's name is how the divine light on its journey to this world makes its way down from Bina, development of the specifics of an idea, into the emotions, first of all, within, and then the emotions that are there in order to prepare us for conveying. And I will just add, even though we spoke about this a previous time, so I won't go too much into it, that in Kabbalah, when we talk about Keter, Chochmah, and Binah, and we skip out Dad, which means to say that the Yud is Keter and Chochmah, primarily Keter, but leading into Chochmah. He is Bina. What's the next thing after Bina? From in the Kabbalistic world, when we're talking about the way they are more from God's perspective versus our intake, because Das is our conviction side of the desire. So we skip that, we go to the 6, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Od, Yesod. And the next one is, of course, going to be Malchut, which is going to be the second He. But for right now, the Vav, that is the 6, and that is the divine light making its way further down. Now, before we go to the second He, I want to explain. What is the meaning of God's name? God's name is 3 words morphed into 1. The word for the future, Yihyeh. I know Atid is future, but Yihyeh means it will be. So you have Yud and a He, and a Yud and a He, Yihyeh. Now, what about present? You have He, Vav, He, Hoveh. And how do you say it was? Hayah.
Hey, Yud Hey. So you can see that these letters, if you take those letters of past, present, future, and you want to represent something that is beyond past, present, future, then this is God's name. Beyond nature. Beyond relationship to nature, even. So now, from beyond the relationship to nature, it makes its way to nature. And how does it make its way? Through each individual letter, which is what we've been doing. First a Yud, then a Hey, then a Vav. And now we come to the second Hey, which is Malchut. Because Hey is expansion again, and Malchut is transmission, or majesty, thought, speech, action are all in Malchut. But in this case, we're going to see how the second Hey is specifically in relationship to Malchut, that's God's kingship, majesty, and we're going to explain it as follows. Remember, what is the meaning of Hey? It has, well, it's a lot of meanings, because we said so much today. There is breadth, and there is height, and width, and depth. So, when a person is speaking in their own head, usually what is happening is there's two things operating that are connected. One is the ability to analyze, which is an intellectual ability. But then when we do the speech inside our head, then we're doing Malchut, which means to say the Bina, our comprehension, has made its way into the words of thought, from Bina to Malchut. So I wrote there in Hebrew, Otiyot HaMachshava, there's a missing a bet in there, Kshurim B'Bina, right? If the Bina ideas is what I'm speaking to myself in my own head. What about speech? Speech is also expressed in Malchut. But speech, as I said, speech is always more passion, less passion, different emotions, higher, lower, that relates to the midot, the characteristics, which is the letter Vav, the six midot. So which expression is really something that separates out of ourselves? Because even though speech, which is the letter Hey, yes, it's the letter Hey, and it does go out of ourselves. So it is the letter Hey, but it's still connected to the Vav. Right? So let's back up for a second. So the first Hey, thought, Bina, is connected to the last Hey, but it's still connected. You go down a level, you're the Vav, which is your emotions, is connected to your speech. But then you have action. What is action? Action with the five fingers. And that's really separate. Because action, when I'm doing something, I pick up the papers, that's outside of me. And I use my fingers to manipulate the pen, or whatever I'm doing, to construct, to destruct, whatever it is. So the expression of action is the final letter, Hey, is expression the most in the world of action. What did we say about the Yud in the letter Hey? That it's the bottom left because it is what? It's God's divinity making its way all the way down to this world. From the top right in the Aleph to the bottom left in this world. So now we can go back to the very beginning. And let's turn to page 2 of our Chumash, which is where we started, the second thing we did. And let's take a look. We have, on page 3, I'm sorry, what happened on the first day? God said, Yehi Or, let there be light. That's the first step. And there was light. Step 2. God saw the light was good. Step 3. He separated between the light and the darkness. Step 4. And he called light day. The fifth level. Clearly, on the first day, creation is beginning with five aspects of light. Now we go back to page 14. And all of a sudden, everything that we have spoken about today is wrapped up in this verse. Eile Tov L'Shemayim V'Aretz, this is the chronology of heaven and earth. V'hi bar om, a small hay, because hay, small, representing potential, going from the potential to the real. V'hi bar om, v'hay bar om, that God created the world using the letter hay, in that it is speech, in the aspect that it represents all of the dimensions, including and in particular profundity, and including the fact that it's the original divine light of the first letter making its way to the fifth letter, that yud, that first yud, making way from the first to the fifth, so that when we act and we do things which apparently are in a world that seems separate from God, using action which is separated even from ourselves, ultimately it is run by God Almighty Himself. And even the fact that our own person is made up of five levels of the soul, five fingers to do action, five parts of the mouth to even speak. So all of a sudden we see how literally this letter hey, which is the easiest letter to recite, it just represents air going out of your throat. It's simple and it's profound. Thank you.